Blog Talk Radio.
Stop wasting time with Mr. Wrong and decide to prepare yourself to find Mr. Right. Mr. Wrong will never be Mr. Right. Now is the time to say goodbye to Mr. Wrong right now. Get out of the singles bars and off the internet, because Mr. Right is waiting for you on your own personal divine path. Mr. Right wants to get married as much as you do. Mr. Right wants everything you want. Devoted love, acceptance, appreciation, honesty, validation, and faithfulness. So get ready to find Mr. Right. Join wedding officiant Reverend Marcy Ann as she shares with you her 20 years of experience meeting with thousands of brides and grooms and hearing their love stories of what works and what doesn't work. Every week, Reverend Marcy Ann will be expanding on the ideas and principles that she has written about in her book, 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right, which is available at www.MrRightForMe.com and at Amazon.com. And now, here is Marcy Ann.
And hello to all the singles out there. It's Friday night here in Orange County, California, 5 o'clock. This used to be a time I used to dread. It's like I had worked all week, and now I had a couple days off, and it's like, what to do, where to go, who to go with. But early on in my life as a single woman, I learned that these so-called singles bars are not filled with single people. Actually, there's usually more married men there than single men many times, especially early in the evening, right after work. You know, it seems that many married men take sort of a circuitous route home to the wife and kids, you know, heading over to a singles bar to have a drink at the bar and sort of stroll around, you know, maybe grabbing a drink, but many times grabbing somebody's behind or a boob, pardon my explicitness. But I've just always wondered what men are thinking when they just pick up a total stranger at a place like a bar and think that that woman just can't wait until he puts his hand on her bottom or on her breast. I mean, really? Ladies, are you standing there or sitting there at a table just breathless until some guy asks you to dance so you can let him touch all of your womanly parts? I don't think so. I've always wondered what makes a man think that the woman's body's his for his private use anyway, and I mean in a public place. I've always considered my body my own private property, and you have to have permission, my permission, to grope it. Because that to me is just plain respect. Respect for the person. I think a lot of women just go along with being felt up by a man because women think that this is what the man wants to do. So if she wants to get the man, she has to let him do it, because if you don't do it, then he'll move on to someone else who will do it. And that today is pretty much the truth. But, and I'm not saying that the woman doesn't enjoy being touched, but, you know, there's a time and a place. But you know what? If a woman starts up any interaction with a man, whatever way that starts up is going to pretty much set the beginning boundaries for the relationship. And if the woman allows her body just to be felt up and pawed by the man at any very first interaction between the two of them, then that woman is establishing the idea that she wants to have sex right away, and this is what the man's going to go for. And then the woman has totally lost her rights. Yep, you wonder where you lost them? That's where you lost them, right there. You lost your rights over your body, and actually over yourself. So I advocate that women just don't go to singles bars, first of all, primarily because not everyone there is single, and secondly, it's kind of just like a brothel, you know, like those areas in Amsterdam where the women are just sitting in a little room with a big picture window out to the street, and the man can walk by and look and pick the girl they want to have sex with, because that's pretty much what a singles bar is, just a room full of ladies who are willing to have sex. Do you know that the United States is known for being the one country in the world where a man has the most opportunity to just go to a bar and find a woman and have sex? And it's reported, you know, that Arab men just love to come to this country. They'll come here just for this reason. Because here in America, as a single man, they can have sex anytime they want. Because in Arabia, there is no sex before marriage. And a Muslim woman is covered from head to toe and can only be seen uncovered before she's married, only in front of her father, her brothers, uncles, and grandfathers. And then after she is married, then she can only be uncovered in front of her husband. Because the woman's body there is considered sacred. For whatever reason you think this all is true, the original intention behind this was the sacredness of the woman's body, the privacy of her body. She has the womb and is the bringer forth of life. And that is what is honored and respected in the symbolism of the hijab and the durka. I might not be saying those right, but, you know, the coverings that the women wear in the Middle East. Boy, what a contrast, huh, to our culture today, where here in America women are wearing less and less and showing more and more. And sex is being used to sell just about everything right now, from breakfast cereal to cars to hamburgers, shampoo. Everything uses sex today to sell it. I just really feel sorry for American men today because they're just bombarded on all sides by sexual stimuli. I mean, not only in the television commercials and magazines, but practically every woman who walks down the street today wears hooker heels and little short skirts that barely cover her butt, and skimpy tops where exaggerated bosoms just bounce practically out of their bra cups. And the men are supposed to look and not be aroused and stimulated? Of course they're stimulated. You know, men are already thinking about sex probably 10 times a minute. They just don't need to be constantly stimulated everywhere they look. No wonder there is the amount of sexual abuse and sexual harassment and sexual offenders today. I mean, doesn't our society see the correlation? Because it seems to me that it doesn't. And how is a man who is constantly being sexually stimulated everywhere he works supposed to work with a woman as his partner in a black and white cop car or at the fire station or in a board meeting or on the battlefield and be able to redirect his masculine energies to the job at hand and treat the woman as a coworker without any reaction to her as a woman? You know, I just think a man has to almost turn himself off as a man to work with a woman side by side in neutrality. And then that just weakens the man. And then he can't respond naturally in his masculinity as the protector of the woman. I mean, how is this ever going to get a woman what she really wants? This is an oxymoron. A woman just can't have it both ways. She can't be a sex object and a neutral coworker at the same time. This is just asking too much from the man. This duality compromises the man as a man. Now, in the Arabian culture, if you watch the YouTube videos about the women in Arabia, you can get a much truer picture of her life there. I mean, I'm not advocating, you know, being a Muslim here. I'm just looking at this contrast. And for women to get what they truly want, I mean, the Arabian woman has what a woman truly wants. She does. And in their culture, the men are men together and the women are women together. But sex is just between the husband and the wife in private after marriage, behind the curtain, so to speak, because the word for the hijab in Arabic actually means curtain. So behind the curtain, the woman's virtues are only for her husband and no one else. And sex is reserved for the private and intimate times between a married man and his wife, and just for them. And then this type of sex brings forth children in a holy and a sacred place, where the couple then devote themselves to raising the children within the family cultural systems. And Saudi Arabia has the lowest percentage of illegitimate births in the whole world. First of all, because it's just not acceptable there to have sex unless you are married. Because if a woman does have a baby out of wedlock, it does happen in a small percentage. Life for her and her child is terrible. It's extremely, extremely difficult. There's no help for her at all. She would have to be a beggar on the street. So women just don't get pregnant in Saudi Arabia unless they are married. And women wouldn't get pregnant here in the United States if there was no welfare system to take care of them. I mean, here in the United States, women use the welfare system just to earn a living. And the more illegitimate children a woman has here, the more money she makes. And sadly, the biggest group of illegitimate children being born today is to Mexicans who have come here illegally, pretty much just to have their baby be born here. I mean, who cares or even knows who the father is? But if the baby is born here, that mother can get aid to dependent children, food stamps, free health care, and all kind of other benefits. And so the Mexicans have learned this. And now they have surpassed the blacks in the numbers of illegitimate children being born in the U.S. today as a way to live your life. And I'm going to talk about this on my show this coming Sunday night at 7 p.m. On my show, Say What? So now let's go back, because I started this conversation by saying I quickly learned as a single woman to not look for a single man in the singles bars, because not everyone there is single. I mean, many men who are in singles bars are in a relationship. They may not be married because, I mean, today many, many people are just living together, not married. But maybe the man isn't too happy in the relationship, so just let me tell you this. It's harder for a man to be single than it is for a woman to be single. And most men will not throw out their dirty dishwater until they know they can get some clean water. So a man will begin to shop around if he's thinking about making a change in his relationship, because he wants to know where he's going to be able to have regular sex, because a man needs a place for his penis and the woman needs to have a place for her body. This is biological. So a woman looks for a relationship where she will have a home, and a man will look for a relationship where he's going to be able to have sex. And a man really likes to know that he's going to be able to have sex rather than hope he's going to be able to have sex. Because even today in this culture of casual sex being acceptable, it's still true today that it is the woman who's going to say if the man has sex or not, except in those extreme cases of rape. So if a man is married, or if he's in a relationship with a woman, they're living together, or even if they're not living together, but they consider themselves in a relationship, which usually means they are having sex, then the man knows that he has a good chance of having sex. And if he's out there in the singles game, he isn't sure whether sex is going to be part of the program or not. Although today there seems to be the third date rule that's talked about in the sitcoms on television where by the third date you do have sex. But there are so many other scenes in the movies and on television that just show that sex is just part of any interaction between a man and a woman, whether it's a casual encounter at a singles bar or a first date, perhaps set up by friends. You know what? I think that men think that women just sit around all day long thinking about having sex like they do. And we just don't. There was such a funny show on the Big Bang Theory where, you know, Leonard has sex with a physics colleague in April, and then he automatically thinks they're going to be in a relationship now. And she says, well, I don't know about your sexual appetites, but I'm good now probably until New Year's. So if we're not going to go to the singles bars to try to find a single man, what do we do while we are waiting for Mr. Right to show up somewhere along our path? Well, now a path would incorporate different types of things that would provide circumstances to meet different types of people. And perhaps one of these people will be a single man who is also on his path. So what are some of these things that we can do? It's Friday night and it's 5 o'clock. Well, you know, if you lived here in Orange County, California, where I live, you could put in Google and put in Friday night meetups, and you will find pages of groups that are getting together tonight. Groups that go out to eat together, groups that climb mountains together, groups that play soccer, tennis, handball, or swim together. And, you know, there's actually a party at Ed's house tonight that includes a pitch-in barbecue, hot tubbing, and dancing, and 27 people have signed up to go to that. And also, tonight is the full moon. And you could go to Aliso Creek Beach and Laguna Beach and drum your drum with about 300 other people to celebrate the rising of this full moon. And tonight is one of those big moons. It's one of the three this year that is closest time, so that it's closest to the Earth, so it looks real big. I've never been able to decide if I think the sunlight on the ocean or the moonlight on the ocean is the prettiest. But if you live in an area where there isn't an ocean, I'll bet there's a drumming group in your area. Or there's a group that'll celebrate the full moon with some other kind of ritual or enchanting experience. You know, perhaps a despacio ceremony or chanting or a fire ceremony or a sweat lodge or some other ancient native or tribal celebration. You know, I've been to all of these various groups, and I have had wonderful personal experiences and met such interesting people. Did I meet Mr. Right? I met many Mr. Rights, and I could have settled right down with one of them and lived the rest of my life in that particular persuasion, but that's not my purpose at this time of my life. My purpose is to help you find Mr. Right. And I can tell you that there are many, many Mr. Rights at these celebrations. And these are men who have elevated their attentions towards spirituality, and they aren't living every moment below the waist thinking about having sex. They're men with the needs of a man, but these men seem to have more respect for women and who value women in a more sacred way. Now, I've shared with you that I am a member of the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, and on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, I go to the U.S. Coast Guard Station Gracie in Oceanside, California, and I'm on the radio for the Coast Guard. monitoring channel 16, the distress signal channel. And we also monitor channel 9, which is the harbor police channel. And we monitor channels 21 alpha and 77 alpha, which are public channels, because if a distress call comes in on channel 16, once we've made contact with the vessel, then we switch them over to another public channel so we can keep channel 16 open for the distress calls. I have to tell you, I have met the highest caliber of men in the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary of any men I have ever met in my whole life. These are men who are faithful and true. They are dedicated to preserving the public safety, helping people, being of service to their fellow men, and there are single men in the auxiliary. Sometimes it's an older man who's been married and his wife has passed, but just this week we had a swearing-in ceremony for our new member, Paul, who is 28 years old and single, and he works for Boeing in their security department. And then another young man named Den visited our meeting this week and filled out the application for membership in our flotilla, and he's also 28 and still single. He did come with a girlfriend, but they are not married and they do not live together. So there are two young men, and then we have one other older man in the flotilla whose wife has passed, and he's currently dating a woman in a different flotilla who he met at one of the division meetings. So if you live within the United States, just know that all of the inland waterways, all of our rivers, lakes, and streams are monitored and watched over by the auxiliary for the Coast Guard. They issue all Coast Guard vessel checks and do all search and rescue for the Coast Guard. So if you have an interest in boats and public boating safety, I recommend that you look into being a member of the auxiliary. I mean, some of our busiest flotillas are in cities like Indianapolis, Indiana, Des Moines, Iowa, St. Louis, Missouri, and Chicago, Illinois. Anywhere there is water in the United States, there is a U.S. Coast Guard auxiliary. Now, let me just read to you what the pledge to be in the auxiliary says. The pledge you are about to take is your commitment to support the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary, an organization dedicated to the promotion of boating safety and providing assistance to the United States Coast Guard in the fulfillment of its civil functions. You accept this membership as a volunteer, and as a member, you are charged with certain responsibility and obligations, and these include your willingness to support the Coast Guard to the best of your ability and to the extent that time and circumstances permit. As an auxiliarist, you enjoy certain honors and privileges, among them wearing the auxiliary uniform. Wear your uniform neatly and correctly, and remember that your conduct reflects directly upon the image of the Coast Guard, and the satisfaction you derive from your auxiliary membership will be in proportion to your level of participation in the organization's activities and upon the quality of the auxiliary leaders that you, the member, select. If you feel that you can be an active and productive member of the U.S. Coast Guard, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. And then Paul said, I, Paul Mather, solemnly and sincerely pledge myself to support the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary and its purposes, and to faithfully execute my duties and to abide by the governing policies established by the Commandant of the United States Coast Guard. Let me tell you, a man who will make this pledge is a man who is going to be honorable and dependable and true blue in all of his relationships. Now, while you are single, perhaps your time could be better spent finding out more about yourself than trying to find a man. I mean, a lot of relationships don't last because the two people change so much that they no longer have any synergy to stay together, because I see this over and over. And in my marriage ceremony, in my clergy council, I say, do not take one another for granted. Everyone is in a constant state of change. And if couples continue to evolve together, the relationship will continue to be strong and vibrant. But many times, couples grow apart as they evolve. And the best defense against this is to know as much about yourself as you can before you enter into any relationship with someone else. And on my Sunday night show over this past year, I've been giving out study programs that are designed to help us realize more about ourselves, like what is our purpose? But actually, in my book, 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right, I have a hopes and dreams worksheet that I encourage single people to begin to work with. And actually, I have a client right now who has begun to work with the hopes and dreams worksheet. He and his girlfriend broke up 3 months ago. They had been together for 12 years, broken up twice, and gotten back together. They lived together, but they were not married. And this time, he says, it's really over. No going back. So I gave him the hopes and dreams worksheet to start, and he is doing it every day now for the first 2 weeks. Because I told him, I said, all right, you're at a transition stage now in your life, and you're starting over now with a clean slate. Well, on the fifth day, he texted me. He says, I haven't answered a single one of these questions the same way twice yet. And I said, well, that's very normal. Now, this man is not a kid. He's in his 60s, and he's been married, has 3 children, and he has also had one other long-term relationship before the one that just ended. So he has a lot of life experience, and yet he just really doesn't know himself very well. He's been very financially successful in his life, and so far I think he's always felt confident. But his confidence seems to be in having a very strong defense system and being in control. And this type of aggressively defensive person doesn't allow for a lot of intimacy in a spiritual or intellectual or emotional way. And I think he's only been able to ever show any feelings at all by having sex, because he talks a lot about how he transmits his feelings by making love. But the way he talks about making love, it sounds more to me like just having sex. Because I asked him, I said, well, did you love this woman that you just broke up with? And he said, yes, he loved her. But then he said, well, I wasn't in love with her, but she's a good woman, and I had love for her. Well, this is probably why she kept leaving. I mean, she got to where she just couldn't have sex anymore with him. Because a woman needs to feel like the man truly loves her. Like, a woman wants to feel she is loved and cherished. And the man needs to feel that she thinks he's wonderful. And a woman will feel that a man is wonderful if she knows that he adores her. I think sometimes a man feels like he really allows himself to, that if he really allows himself to truly adore his woman, that he'll lose his power to control the situation. But what this says is that the man doesn't really trust a woman for some reason. And that reason would need to be unearthed by some serious therapy. So, in this case, the first type of therapy we are using is to do the Hopes and Dreams worksheet in my book. So, my book is on the website, www.mrrightforme.com. And the Hopes and Dreams page is on pages 45 through 48. Now, this man is finding out he really doesn't know what he truly desires within himself. He has not answered a single question the same way twice. So this says, I really don't know how I feel about these things. So he's on a path of exploration to find out more about himself. And as he unpeels the layers of the onion, he's going to find out about the deeper parts of himself, which will also perhaps begin to reveal to him his need for a spiritual connection in his life. And he can perhaps then begin to realize that he can enjoy an intellectual relationship with a woman and find out that there are women who are really smart. And I believe he's going to also begin to be able to be emotional with a woman without feeling powerless. He desires the nurturing of a woman, but he doesn't want to feel vulnerable. He always wants to feel like he's in control. And a woman's going to feel like she's a puppet with a man like this, and she would not feel like she could be an equal partner with him. So I suggest that everyone do the Hopes and Dreams worksheet in my book. You know, I started out doing this worksheet 20 years ago, and I had that same original experience that pretty much everybody is going to have who starts the process. And I just answered the questions differently every time I did the worksheet. But eventually, a pattern begins to take place. And then a true desire, a true hope, a true dream will begin to manifest. And then when you have answered the questions each the same way for 6 months, then you can be confident to start the process of bringing that hope, that true desire, and that dream into reality. And on my website, www.marcianne.com, on my radio page, I have a set of 7 steps to bringing your dreams into reality. That series is called 7 Steps to Manifesting What You Want in Your Life. And right now, I am in the process of redoing my websites. I'm transitioning from working full-time doing the weddings to working part-time doing weddings and then part-time doing my radio shows. So I'm developing a new website which will incorporate these 2 things, and I am going to be changing the prices for everything because it seems that the going rate to buy things on the internet is 99 cents. So the 7 steps of manifesting what you want will be 99 cents each. And my book will be 99 cents because these token payments will then just pay for the websites so I can make the information available throughout the whole world of Blog Talk Radio, which actually goes all over the world. And I have had over 50,000 listens to my shows, which just thrills me so much. And I do want to thank all of you who have tuned in. So all of you single people out there, your first level of therapy is to begin to do the Hopes and Dreams worksheets. And the second level of therapy will be, once you have a clear picture of your true desire or the dream that you really, really, really want to come true, then you can start on your path and do the 7 steps to making dreams become a reality for you. And while you're on the path, remember, Mr. Wright is right there on your path. Okay, there are 3 other types of therapy I'm going to recommend. So get out your pencil and paper and take these down. And the first one is a fun thing to do, is www.humandesign.net. This is a website that you can just read casually and to find out if you are a manifester, a projector, a generator, or a reflector. And when I did this with my client, he found out he's a manifester. I mean, in reading the definition for what a manifester is, I mean, it was just word for word. He says, yeah, that's me, that's me. Yep, that's what I do. Yep, that's how I work. I mean, it was word for word. Well, this humandesign.net says that the manifestors are only 8% of the total population. And he has always, because he is a manifester, he has always set this high bar for his own life, because he's a person that goes out and gets things done. I mean, he sets out the goal, he writes the program, and he goes out and he does it. But he's always held this high bar for everybody else. Well, that's not fair. There's only 8% of the people like him. And I told him, I said, you know what? You set things up. But I said, there's all the projectors and the generators. You know, they're the bulk of the human design. They're the workers. They're the dedicated, you know, people that you delegate authority to at various levels of authority. And then you get the ones all the way down where that are the artists and the dreamers. And we're not all alike. We're all different. So it's helpful to know what you are. You see, I'm a reflector. I'm in only 1% of the population. So I simply do not expect anybody either to understand me or, you know, I just reflect. That's why I have my radio show. I reflect and I just tell what I see. I just relate truths based on what I see. Okay, so this would just would be a fun thing to do. There, this website has it can get pretty complicated, but and if you wanted to go into some counseling with it, you would need a facilitator to help you navigate everything. But just for fun, you can start out just determining which one of the four types of human design that you are. Okay, the second thing I recommend is heart math, M-A-T-H, heart math. This is the best program there is to help you learn to live out of your heart and not out of your brain. Because your heart also has a brain, and this brain is connected to the energy source of all there is. And this energy source has never been hurt or betrayed or damaged, because the brain in our heart is connected to the original energy that created everything, and that source is benevolent. That energy is love. But, you know, I think that word love has just been so maligned. I mean, for God's sake, we say we love hamburgers. Or I love jazz, or we love sunsets. Well, so then when you say I love you, what are you saying? Do you love me the way you love hamburgers? But if you go into the HeartMath program and take some of their training, and a lot of things on their website are free. I mean, they offer a lot of webinars free of charge. They would have one tonight that you could look at. Because the brain in our head is only stored information, so it can only provide us with information that's been gathered from our life experiences. And many, you know, of our life experiences are unhappy. And people try to defend against having any more unhappy experiences, but this can also keep them from having happy experiences. But if you can learn to go down into your heart and make choices and decisions from your heart, then you can enter into new experiences without fear and with a clean slate, so that you don't take into any new relationship any of the baggage from your past. Into addition to personal training, there are also other levels of certification that you could qualify for. And eventually, if you desired, you could become a heart math coach yourself and help others. I did a series of personal training with a heart math life coach that was just tremendous, because what it did me was help me to develop my intuitive powers. Now, I have a background of spirituality that included having the experience of knowing God's power in my life with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And back when I was stumbling along my path in a hit-or-miss kind of experience, even in my most distressing times or in times of great desperation. I could always speak in tongues, and I felt like at least God still loved me, even though in the outward circumstances of my life there was little evidence of it. But I had all, and I have also experienced times in my life of knowing I was receiving revelation from God's Spirit about certain people and events in my life. And I confess that I was living my life being led into the paths of righteousness and truth for me. However, after my coaching with the HeartMath facilitator, I moved into a level of knowing intuitively about all of the events and people in my life that is more like what the Bible says Jesus was able to do. Because I can now discern motives and intents, and I can know what is best for me, and in confidence make choices that are only in my highest and best good for me now. And I can truly say I am not creating any more unhappiness in my life. I'm only creating happiness now. And I feel totally self-fulfilled and free, living in truthful compassion. And in HeartMath, you will learn the difference between compassion and sympathy. You'll learn how to access the divine wisdoms of the heart of God, or the truth of the universe, or whatever you call the source energy, which is love. And HeartMath teaches you what is true love and what is codependence. You know, I've always loved it when I could use the Bible definition of love in my wedding ceremonies, because that definition mostly says what love isn't. And that is what HeartMath does. It teaches you what love isn't. And by knowing what love doesn't do, you can learn what love does. And then you'll be able to discern the motives and intents of the men you are meeting as you are on your path. And you will know it when Mr. Right shows up. I remember when my book first came out back in 2008, and a person who lives here in my retirement community was introducing me to a couple who had come to a Halloween party at our particular complex, and he said, "She has a new book out called 17 Things to Do While Waiting for Mr. Right." And then he came and stood right smack dab in front of me, and he said, "But she wouldn't know Mr. Right if he was standing right in front of her." And everybody laughed. Well, several years before this, he had shown interest in me, but I had not shown interest back to him. So this was payback for him. But we all laughed. And the couple seemed to have already found Mr. Right and Miss Right. So they weren't candidates to read my book anyway. But sometimes we don't recognize Mr. Right. We've had such damaging experiences in our life, or we've had such unreasonable expectations that sometimes Mr. Right is standing right in front of us and we can't even see him. I don't know what it is about that bad boy attraction that some women seem to have. I really think the bad boy syndrome is actually a woman looking for what she thinks is a strong man, a man who can take charge and be dependable. I mean, it's an oxymoron to think that a bad boy is going to be dependable. But, you know, women have this idea that they can change someone. It comes from the mother instinct that actually is the force that molds and develops the character of a child. But the woman will see the demonstration of power by the actions of the bad boy, and then she'll think she can channel that power into positive and desirable attributes. But to go into a relationship with the idea that you can change someone is very dangerous. And in my marriage ceremony, I say, we do not have the power to change another person. And then I ask the question, do you accept this person just the way they are with no hidden agenda? And this principle is why I also have in my book a worksheet to develop your perfect life partner. But to know what you would like to have in another person, you need to know more about yourself. because you don't want to go into a relationship with any idea that it's going to be the other person who makes you happy. If you do some personal training with a heart math facilitator, you will learn how to make yourself happy, and then you won't be going into a relationship with expectations about the other person. It's not Mr. Right's job to make you happy. Actually, Mr. Right is looking for a person who is already happy. And the third therapy I'm going to recommend to you is EFT. That's Emotional Freedom Therapy. This is one of the most effective ways to get yourself free from damaging emotions and the traumas from the past. And I've shared in past shows how I got to where I couldn't fly anymore because I had three terrible flying experiences in a row. And at the end of the third bad experience, when we hit the ground going way too fast and the pilot threw on those big air brakes and practically threw us all out of our seats and threw everything out of all the storage bins. When we finally stopped, out loud I said, I am never going to fly again. But that decree set up an emotional situation for me where I couldn't fly. But using the techniques of EFT, I am now able to fly. And I've been flying again now for over 5 years. And I am now emotionally free to go see my kids and my grandkids and to go on cruises and to be able to fly to the ports of embarkation. And my life now is filled with the happiness of these experiences. And I don't have to be trapped in the emotion of a traumatic experience that keeps me from being able to enter into new life experiences of pleasure and joy. And you don't need to be trapped in any past emotional traumatic experience either. And you don't need to have to take drugs to be able to deal with it. You can do EFT and release yourself from sad or bad experiences and free up all that energy that can now be put into a new and joyful experience with Mr. Right. You just don't need to take Mr. Right back into all that other stuff. He wasn't there, he didn't cause it, and he can't change it. He would like for you to put that in the past and be able to go forward with him into new and joyful times together. So look into EFT. It's emotionalfreedomtherapy.com. Well, that's what you can do tonight. Either begin to do the Hopes and Dreams worksheet or take a look at the webinar offered by HeartMath or start on a path of emotional freedom with EFT. Because this time that you have right now is so precious. It's time that's going to pass and you can never get it back. Take this time to be as productive as possible in preparing yourself to be ready when Mr. Right does show up. Take this time to learn how even to recognize Mr. Right. Take this time to look within yourself for all the answers to all of your needs so that when you do run into Mr. Right, you will not be requiring him to do anything for you. You will just be ready to totally appreciate him and be the happy helpmate on his arm who he's going to look at with surprise, tremendous relief, and the desire to never let you go.
Thanks for listening to The Finding Mr. Right Show with your host, Marcy Ann. You can purchase Marcy Ann's book at www.MrRightForMe.com or reach Marcy Ann at www.MarcyAnn.com. And please join us every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time for more ways to Finding Mr. Right.